Bucky. This is Kyle Brusten Northman, KBN, on ESPN Wisconsin. Here's Kyle Wallace, Ben Brust, and Brad Northman.
It's Brad's fault now, because now all I can think about is having a donut. Ben Brust, Brad Northman, Kyle Wallace with you, Alex Drofer on the show, who hasn't had lunch today. Too busy campaigning for Sal Frelick to go to the All-Star game.
Now you starving, and we know you need meals.
Many. 800-990-3776 is the Carbless talking text line. List is more. See us on YouTube at ESP Milwaukee and at ESPN Madison. Now, I don't necessarily want to go into who's on the hot seat, because I don't know if hot seat's the right word, but I would love to hear from Brad. As Ed Policy spoke last two Fridays ago, they had some articles drop on Monday of last week about Ed Policy's thoughts on becoming the president, what's his focus. A lot of people up in arms on the second one of his three. It was to win football games, keep the Packers in Green Bay, and then support the community. I take the second one as he wants to make sure a Schwabenon knows the rent's going to be what they need it to be.
Ain't that nice? You can tell your landlord how much I'm paying. Y'all ain't going up here rent.
Without us.
That is Green Bay.
You got nothing.
They are located in the middle of Ashwaubenon, but that block is property of the city of Green Bay, oddly enough.
Really?
Wild.
Yeah, really.
I trust Strofe.
That's why Green Bay police officers work Packers games and not Ashwaubenon police officers.
Never noticed.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm not really looking at the police.
My dad was a cop in Green Bay. That's why.
Oh, there it is.
Oh, cool.
So, Brad, from a player's perspective, how would you look at a new owner or a new president if you were with Green Bay or wherever you were from a GM, coach, player standpoint?
Yeah, you know, because the conversation with Ed Policy now becoming basically the president, basically a de facto owner of the Green Bay Packers, it's not headline worthy like a new GM or new head coach would be. But if I'm a player and if I'm in the building, I am on high alert. And here's why. If I'm a player in any organization, I was, you know, for the Panthers, the Jags, or even the Green Bay Packers, if in the offseason you got a new coach, right, you'd be like, oh, okay, well, there's going to be some changes around here. If it was a new GM, you'd say, oh, wow, like almost everything is about to change. It's a big deal.
Coach, we have O. GM, we have oh, wow.
Oh, wow. And then if there was a sale of the team or a new owner, it's not just oh, wow. It's oh, wow. Like
oh,
that is
oh, wow.
That is a big
All caps, oh wow.
Oh, all caps, all wow. It's a transformative move for the team. Now, it's a little bit different with a, you know, kind of a long-tenured Packer in Policy taking over as president. But a president now taking over in this role is the same thing as like a team being sold. The higher up the food chain you go in change, the more the change cascades down. Mm. So a new coach, new head coach, yeah, you can get a little bit of change, but mostly stability. You can get a new GM. That's changing quite a bit. A lot more will change than from a head coach and a new president, or if a team were to be sold. That is a lot of change. I cannot overstate how much change that can mean down the line for the Packers going forward. So as a player, I'd be prepared for anything. As a player, as a coach, as a strength staff, as a GM, as a scouting department, everybody's put on notice, because when the change happens that high up the food chain, the change will cascade and touch everything around there. So if I'm a Green Bay Packer player, if I'm anything in the Green Bay Packer organization, I'm on high alert, best behavior, highest level of production, whatever it is, because everything will be under the microscope.
Well, I think the difference in this is that Ed Policy has been around, right? So these guys know Ed Policy. Just like when Goody was around, I believe, and Ben, you were on air at the time when Goody took over, it was already known that Aaron Rodgers really wasn't that much of a fan of Goody. He wanted Wolf, Elliot Wolf, my guy, to be the general manager.
He's not a Goot stan some people are.
And so you kind of get a feel and a vibe. Now, we don't know how active Ed Policy was behind the scenes, but I'm sure there's a relationship that was already formed and had between Matt LaFleur and Ed Policy and Goody and Russ Ball as well. And so overall, should these guys be put on notice? Yes. But You play in the NFL. You know more than me. But as a player on the football team, it kind of feels like it's just a transition than a big shakeup and change, I would assume, right? I don't think Jordan Love is thinking, boy, oh boy, if I don't perform these next 2 years or this next year, Ed Policy's going to move on from me. I think he's probably thinking about other things. Now, maybe he's in the back of the mind of Matt LaFleur and Goody saying, all right, well, we got to win a championship because things don't last forever, and maybe this isn't the guy that hired me, so I have to perform. When it comes to the players on the field, I don't think they're thinking Ed Policy's going to make those decisions because of the way that the structure is anyways currently in this state. It isn't him making decisions.
It's not necessarily dominating their thoughts, but Ed Policy is the decision maker on who's the decision maker for the players.
That's true. Yeah.
So you look at the food chain and you say, well, you know, the GM is in charge of my paycheck. He's in charge of whether I'm on the team or not. So who's in charge of him? If that person's in charge of him, is any part of, I mean, we've already said that he doesn't like lame duck contracts. And so he's going to either extend or probably drop Goody and LaFleur this upcoming offseason.
Like, for instance, Alex Stroh showed up late to Sunday Karma from 10 to noon. The CEO, Craig Karmazin, was on the show. And then he also was on a show with Greg Scalzo, who's in charge of kind of Alex Stroh and the payroll. And so if, you know, Alex Stroh shows up late like he did to Sunday Karma, then now Craig Karmazin, a.k.a. Ed Policy, is telling Brian Gutekunst, a.k.a. Greg Scalzo, what the hell is this guy doing and why are we paying him as much as we are? He showed up late to the show.
Am I right. Am I Romeo Dobbs?
No, not quite. You still showed up.
We didn't have to send anybody to knock on your door.
That's true.
We almost did, though.
I imagine. If Kyle called me and it went straight to voicemail.
I did twice. It went straight to voicemail twice. I thought maybe the first time, you know, your iPhones is on.
Oh,
like,
did you get a little worried?
Well, I was a little concerned. I mean, I knew he was probably at Summerfest going too hard, so maybe I thought he decided he was going to call in and he told Ashton and nobody told us.
Mm-hmm.
Former executive producer of ESPN Milwaukee, Ashton.
Yeah. R.I.P. Ashton.
Oh, it's former
Whoa.
He's not dead.
Whoa.
I don't even know
his new title.
He is the content manager of ESPN Madison.
Mm.
So he still has oversight of our show.
And Jesse Nelson now.
He has oversight of Jesse Nelson.
Wow.
Yes.
Good old Amazing.
Bring the heat, Ashy. Bring the heat. Make him stay till 5 o'clock.
Wow! Now you messing with somebody's livelihood.
Ooh, should we text him?
What regular expectations?
3:14, Ashton's first day on the job. We think Jesse's still there.
Oh, good game. Send him a text.
I will, but I need your predictions.
He's there.
Yeah, first day.
Jesse's a good.
You got new GM in town.
I'm gonna go. He's not there.
Wow.
He's on his way home right now.
He's kissing up on day one. He's definitely still there.
Everybody says he's still there. All right, we'll get Jason's prediction on the other side. Jason Wilder joins us next, and then I will text.
That's a good idea. Next.
You're listening to Kyle Bruston Nortman.
Listen, Diana, that's her name. Listen, we all about positive manifestation. I like you, Diana. All it is negative.
Diana.
Criticize.
Dirty Diana.
I love you, Kyle.
Love you too, girl.
I love you, Kyle.
I love you too. That's what I'm talking about. The real Packer Nation.
On ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
There's a little groupthink going on there. I'm not going to disagree.
Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year.
He is a good general manager. Anybody who disputes that, they have other issues.
Holding everybody accountable.
I'm not sure that was good enough for us to even play on our show.
Jason Wilde is on Kyle Bruston Nortman.
Joining us here on Kyle Bruston Nortman is Jason Wilde. Listen to Jason 9 to noon across these very stations on Wilde and Tausch. Jason, what is going on?
Not much. What's up with you guys?
Doing well. That's right. Kyle, tell them why you're doing well.
Yeah, Jason, I'm doing well because I decided to wife up my little boo thing, and now she went from baby girl to future Mrs. Wallace baby girl. Thank you, Jason.
I'm sorry. You decided to wife up?
My boo thing. I decided to put a ring on it.
A little boot thing.
That will be played at the wedding.
Wow. Yeah. Congratulations on wifing up your boot thing.
Thank you, Jason. Thank you. It took me some time, but I got there.
Could I sound any whiter when I say that?
Hey.
I don't think so, but you could try.
No, I think I did a pretty good job the first time around.
Yeah. We're taking some votes around here as there's a new content manager in the ESPN Madison offices.
There is?
Yes. Ashton Rotman is now the
Never heard of
content
him.
Manager. And one Jesse Nelson producer of Wildy and Tausch falls under his umbrella. Do you think that Jesse Nelson is still at the offices, or is he elsewhere?
3:21 p.m.
Oh, he's definitely not at the office anymore, and I can tell you why. He is cousin subbing on the damn sports show on 1430 ESPN Beaver Dams.
The best damn sports show. Working.
No, just the damn sports show. I don't know. Can you use the best damn sports show?
I think you can now, right? They don't have
now it. That it's not on anymore.
Yeah.
And they're a good run.
And what a, by the way, what a world we live in where back when that was the name of that show on Fox Sports Channel or whatever it was, at like Miller Park, now AmFam Field, they would cover up the dam in the signage. And now you got, you know, politicians swearing and using profanity, like, on the House floor. Like, what a simpler time where we just didn't want the word damn out in the outfield. But I don't know if we can use that or not. If we can, it is very clever.
It's for Beaver Dam.
Correct, but not the original version.
I was, yeah. But different dam.
Yeah. Thanks for clarifying.
I was actually
different. Damn, you're right.
No, when trademark I was a kid, on DIM.
Well, when I was a kid, I didn't swear, and so I was afraid to say, like, you know, a beaver dam.
Golly gee whiz, yeah.
Yeah,
I was
like,
you wouldn't even call. You wouldn't even refer to a dam in nature.
I was confused.
I was too. I was scared to say it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is strange that they call it a dam, or that dam became a curse word.
Can we say
is
that word?
Is damn a curse word?
Yeah, it is.
Like in.
I think it's like a kiddie curse word.
Oh, wow.
A kiddie.
Like, you don't want your kids saying it.
Yeah.
Jason, do you want your kids to say that?
Yeah, have your kids ever sworn?
Yeah.
Ooh, good question.
Not to my knowledge.
Oh, that's good.
But having been around their teams, there are girls certainly that do swear. I would say this, if they picked up any profanity, it's largely from Paula. I use that. I have sworn a couple of times over the years. I believe both in terms of parenting and in terms of coaching, because I think there's a lot of similarities. I think if you're yelling all the time, it loses its effectiveness. If you're swearing all the time, it loses its effectiveness. So if you pick your spots on yelling as a coach, or as a parent, and you pick your spots on swearing as a parent or a coach, I think it carries a lot more weight, because then there's a little bit of a shock value of, oh my gosh, dad swore, or Coach Jason swore, he never swears. This must be serious kind of a thing.
Oh, wow, Coach Jason. Yeah. That's kind of scary.
It is.
Scary. Jason Woolley joining us here on Kyle Bruston-Ortman across ESPN Wisconsin. Now, Jason, I want to get to Ed Policy, but not the who's on the hot seat. Is it Matt LaFleur or Goody? More so, as it pertains to new presidents, in your time covering the Packers, has there been like initial changes that happen fast? Like, we're talking with Brad, and he was thinking, if there's a new owner, new president, new coach, GM, in different varying degrees, you change your approach, right? Like, because Goody is managed by Ed Policy, and if Goody's writing your check, you kind of want Ed Policy to like that guy. Like, is it because he's been around that there won't be like a brash change? It's going to be pretty normal business as usual, or do you expect things to change quickly?
Yeah, I don't expect things to change quickly. I do think that the conversation that we had though with him and him talking about they are not going to get extensions ahead of time was significant. I really do. I think that was extremely important that he went on the record and said that. And then he also talked about his position on lame duck seasons for general managers and head coaches. I thought both of those were pretty significant that he came out and said those things, because it does lay the groundwork for what would be a drastic change, right? Like, look, I don't want to get into the hot seat conversation either, because I firmly believe, you know, in, and we'll talk about this, I'm sure, with Strolf when we do the state of the Packers. Like, I'm not They have a hard schedule. I still think they have some limitations as a team. I love Keyshawn Nixon, and I love Carrington Valentine. I don't know enough about Nate Hobbs, but I don't like that group without more reinforcements, especially if injuries hit against the types of wide receivers they're going to face. And look, I think Jeff Hafley's a really good coach, and I think, you know, them running more zone coverages will probably benefit those guys. But the bottom line is that they don't have any studs back there. No matter where you fell on the Jair Alexander injuries and what his dad said to you guys and everything else, like, I just don't think that they're deep enough there. It was one of the reasons why going into the draft, I had said that it was their biggest need, even more than wide receiver, where they obviously picked in the first and third round. So I think they're going to be a 10-7 team that, you know, maybe all three of the teams that won that were at the top of the NFC North fall back, and the Bears gain some ground on all of them, and maybe they only get two teams in, and maybe it only takes 11-6 to win the division, since all these teams have to play tougher games outside of the NFC. But my point is that I don't know what their season's going to end up being. I think it's going to be about 10-7, make the playoffs as a wild card. But what kind of season would it take for Ed Policy? Like, it would have to be a complete collapse for him to ash can both those guys and start over. But if he doesn't want lame ducks, does a 10-7 season and a first-round playoff exit, that's not going to get you a four-year extension either. So is that going to get you a one-year added onto your contract type deal like Mike McCarthy got going into the 2018 season?
Yeah.
Instead of a big extension?
That's what I would assume.
That's what I would assume. And so, and then more questions like you just asked about, you know, how are things going to be different with Ed? You know, that stuff starts to heat up a little bit. I do know this. He told us he plans on meeting with Goody, LaFleur, and Russ Ball more frequently than Mark Murphy ended up doing. And if that's once a week, you know, Mark Murphy had claimed he was going to do it once a week too, and then that obviously went by the boards. He also made it sound like he was going to be sitting in game planning meetings, which I don't think he was. But bottom line, this is a really good question, and I don't have a clear-cut answer for you.
Yeah, so maybe it's too early to ask this question then, but every time I've been a part of a head coach, GM, never really part of a true ownership change, but seismic changes I'm sure occur then, you can feel the climate change quickly from one type of feel to another type of feel. Have you already started to feel that shift? Or do you think that this is because Policy was already in the building that, you know, the temperature change, you don't expect really any?
Like, is he giving any jokes like Mark did, or is it very serious?
Good question.
So I would say this, first of all, about Ed. Like, I think Ed, you know, I was talking to somebody that works in the building about how the perception might be that he's kind of stiff. And my experience with him, you know, again, I'm someone who Mark Murphy, after I asked him at a public press conference, what makes you qualified to select the next coach and change the structure of the organization? Those did not go over well in those two press conferences.
Be gone now.
You know, Ed talked to me a lot more than he did. He didn't avoid me when he saw me coming. And so my experiences with Ed have been largely very positive, and he's more, you know, laid back than he probably comes across as a lawyer and everything else, and having been the COO for so long. That said, you know, I think the biggest seismic change, which is a great word, by the way, is that we won't have a team president who you never know what the hell he's going to say when a microphone is nearby.
God, I'm going to miss that. I really am.
Was Mark always like that, though?
I am going to miss that.
Was he always like that even early on when he took over?
Yes.
Oh, he was. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, now, you know, one of the problems is, and I always tell this story because I kept it off the record at the time, but now that he's on his way out, you know, we do these things every year before the shareholders meeting where we go through their numbers, and they've given us less and less information over the years, and you know, I'm a reporter. I want more information, not less. And I believe that when you're a team owned by the fans and owned by the community, there's a higher standard for you than there is for others. And they don't always, you know, they don't care that I think that. But there was, you know, Mark and I got into debates a few times over the years about ticket prices. I am a loyalist to Bob Harlan. I think he did it right. I think you're capable of doing that job in a mom and pop and a corporate way. I think you can meld those things. But he and I got into a debate about ticket prices and raising them every year. And I said, you know, there's fans that are true blue, you know, bleed green and gold Packers fans. They're not selling their tickets. They're not trying to make a profit off of them. They're going to as many games as they can, but they're now starting, this was probably 6 or 7 years ago, they're starting to sell their tickets so they can afford to go to some of the games and to defray some of the cost of what their season ticket package is. They're not like these bars that own like 50 tickets and they just sell them all the time. And I said, we've gotten, you know, Tausch and I have gotten more and more complaints about that. And he's literally forgetting that he's on the record. He says, well, that's all fans do usually is complain, or fans love to complain. That's all they do. Jeez. That's why they're fans. And I was like, and I told the PR guy at the time, I'm like, look, man, I'm not going to use this because it defeats the purpose of the actual conversation. But I'm like, you realize you can't say that kind of stuff. Like, you can't say that as the president of the Packers. That's all fans do is complain. Well, again,
that's why he started like, Murphy Takes Five, to take those complaints.
Right, exactly. It was like a suggestion box. So I guess I'm just saying that he's always been that way. He always has thought he's funnier than he actually is. He's kind of part-time CEO, part-time stand-up comic. But the bottom line is that we're definitely not going to get from Ed Policy. He will definitely be more buttoned up than that.
Well, Jason, we will see how it unfolds, but appreciate what you do know to get us all up to speed on what to expect, and we'll see if anything changes quickly or not.
What to expect when you're expecting. Hey, am I going to talk to you again before you take to the Orpheum stage for Made 'Em Believe? Tickets available at uwhoops2015.com, well, by the way.
It's funny. I'm holding some interesting copy. You must have some telepathy?
Telepathy.
Yeah.
You can always give me a call, Jason, but I may not be on the air Thursday.
I know.
Does he still owe you one?
I do. Yeah, I do. Yes. I do owe him a call. But hey, we're both busy people.
Is that policy going to continue the column or not? The Murphy Take Five?
Well, he's not going to call it Murphy Take Five, I would presume.
Well, like policies.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing. Maybe Murphy continues the call.
Hey.
That'd be great.
Great point by
I
you.
I love that.
So good.
But if we don't talk, do you have a message?
Take care. Be good. That's my message.
All right. I didn't know if you had anything for me. You know, a big live show coming up.
I'll call you later.
Sounds good. I'll call you later. How about that?
I'll see if I answer. All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
I'm uncomfortable.
10 years ago, Alex Stroph was uncomfortable as well because he was nervous because he wanted to see his favorite team win the championship. But this Thursday, it's here. Thursday, June 26th is Made 'Em Believe. We'll be celebrating the 2015 Final Four team, and you need to get your tickets because the show that I've been working on with the team here that we're putting together for the Madison 7 p.m. start, UWHoops2015.com, you got to be there. It's going to be amazing. Bo Ryan, Frank Kaminsky, Sam Decker, Josh Gosser, a lot of fun and interactive things that I will make sure are a part of the live program for you to enjoy. Questions and anything you want to get to know from these guys, I promise you'll find out. So get your tickets at UWHoops2015.com. It's UWHoops2015.com for Made 'Em Believe at the Orpheum on Thursday.
Are we getting these donuts or no? I got a sweet tooth now.
Ooh.
You want me to run?
Oh, yeah, you're good at that.
All right, I'm fast.
Go, run, run. Right. I'm timing you. I'm timing you.
Okay, hurry up.
Go now. We'll take the show to break. We'll buy him a few extra seconds.
We got
to
time him, Ben. We got time. Go fast.
I hope he knows how to select good donuts.
You know, he'll be fine. He's one of those stupid guys who, like, you know how kids, you tell them to go run to the garbage and do something, they're going to time you.
It's going
to
be really funny when he runs right behind Brad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's just a fly. Here he goes. There he goes. There he goes.
Yeah.
The
see ya.
I'm the hot.
On the hot.
All right. So coming up next,
I like that,
that clown show of a quarterback in Chicago.
Caleb Williams sucks.
Caleb Williams sucks. Ha.
Caleb Williams sucks. Ha.
Couldn't keep the Packers' name out of his damn mouth. We will relive the Caleb Williams weekend that was, as well as maybe have a donut or two. That's all still ahead. It's Kyle Bruston-Nortman, ESPN Wisconsin.
This is Kyle Bruston-Nortman.
Top five of my guys throughout my career. Of
just one
guys.
Below me. I was just putting myself in the ranking.
He loves himself.
On ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
I'm mad at Brad Nortman right now. You're going to get me in trouble.
Why?
You know why.
I do feel like a little bit of a fraud right now.
Oh, wait, no, this isn't about you right now. Oh. We already called you a fraud for turning into the sugar monster.
Yeah, the last week and a half, I've become a changed man.
Yeah, but what have I been texting you nonstop for?
Health advice.
You just ran. You just burned off what you're about to eat. Stop it.
No, it takes a whole lot more than that.
A whole lot more than that for a donut.
Have you ever done that? Like what it takes to burn off like an M&M? It's ridiculous.
Do some jumping jacks while you eat.
Yes, so, you have to like
Brad Nortman.
Damn, what?
What happened?
For an M&M.
No. For like a donut.
Oh.
It's okay. Crazy, though.
What do I got to do for a donut? Because I got us more than a donut.
Oh.
Do you want me to even look?
How many did you get?
We have four, but I knew I'd want more than one donut.
Oh.
I like where your head's at.
So I got six so we could split.
Oh, Brad.
One and a half each.
Brad, you're going to eat eight donuts in 3 days.
Do we need cutlery? Do we need cutlery?
We got
slice
hands.
Up and all the bite.
I was worried about the whole hands thing with Kyle.
Well, yeah. You grab one end, I grab the other, and we rip. I've done that before.
Did you get any strawberry frosted?
Hope
I'm
not.
Dying to know what.
Yeah, I want to see what we got the unveiling. Mm. Hold on now. Don't be licking your finger touching
it's
our stuff
dead.
Now.
Already dead.
So.
Any strawberry frosted?
We have. I went with the quickest I could see. I mean, we're in the middle of a radio show here. can I grab them with my hands?
I don't care.
No, just angle it up. Oh, you got.
I got French toast.
Oh,
French toast.
One of their best. An OG glazed.
Oh, yeah.
Which
right.
is
right.
one of their best. Yeah,
stop right, talking right, over yeah. the donuts, man. I want your spit getting over it now.
Kyle, relax.
Except you don't get any donuts then. I can do whatever I want. I bought these donuts.
Yeah, that's true. Very true.
So you better shut up or you're getting none.
You're right. I'm broke, so you're right. Let me just
chocolate
shut my broke
sprinkle.
Ass up.
Okay.
Vanilla sprinkle.
Come on.
A marbled. And a strawberry sprinkle.
Oh,
but I
want
half the strawberry sprinkle.
I'm fine with that.
I like
my
all
favorite.
The donuts.
Who would like to claim?
Let Brad the donut lover go.
Oh, Brad leads off.
Come on, fat boy Brad. Goodness. Go ahead and eat.
Fat boy Brad.
Look at
let's
you sound,
let's not
baby.
Say that.
Yeah,
come on
ain't no wrong being big.
Well, I want everyone to get the donut they want.
Ooh, I like that. That
oh,
red.
He's so
I
sweet.
That red. What's that red one in the corner?
That's the French toast.
Oh, give me that one.
You can
well,
have that.
Then you're splitting it.
Oh, okay. Then I'll take the
Are
blame.
We splitting all these?
I think we have
I'm
to.
I'm a chocolate
now.
Guy. I have the chocolate
yeah,
one.
Go for
Brad,
it.
These
yeah,
are, these
I,
are,
I don't,
you can have
I don't
the chocolate
want chocolate.
Sprinkle. No one wants the chocolate sprinkle.
You know,
I love chocolate sprinkle.
Now, you know these are like baked potato donuts.
Yeah, they're so good.
This feels
not
heavy.
All of them.
Oh.
Feels heavy.
Wait a minute now. What you just you got to pass the box. Pass the box like you used to do.
I don't trust you.
What do you mean? I'm to know. You said you want the one in the corner. I'm going to take
donut.
So I looked up. I shouldn't have done this. I looked up what it takes to burn off one donut.
What do you got to do?
They give you options for what it would be.
Oh, Kyle, should we wait until we hear?
I'm going to burn it. So
they said that you'd have to jog at 5 miles per hour for 1 hour.
Damn.
Another, so 10 miles per hour for 30 minutes?
Another,
can I do that math?
Another option?
Yeah. The OG glazed?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Imagine doing this. 53 minutes of lunges. 53
minutes
of lunch.
53 for one donut?
For one donut.
Come on.
Isn't that crazy?
I'll just be fat and out of shape the rest
swim
of my life.
For 45 minutes?
I'm Team Kyle on this one. I'll just be fat.
Walk your dog for an hour and a half.
You got to wait for the break.
That's fine.
Oh, this smells so good.
Mm. Oh, no. What did you just take a bite of?
The French toast.
Oh, thank goodness.
Wow.
This is so delicious.
Gosh, you really are hungry.
I don't care if it
does take
you.
I just love strawberry. Strawberry donuts are the best.
53 minutes of lunges. It's worth it.
Brad,
it's so good.
Brad, do like 10 hours.
Can you film 53 minutes of lunges tonight?
Well, no,
he's got to do 1,000 lunges today after all the donuts he's been eating.
I know, seriously.
Wesley's going to tell you, you're getting a little husky.
Kyle. Huh? Can't have that big of a mouthful and talk.
Kyle, your donut's half done already. You've had it in your hand for a
damn!
Minute.
Damn! Are y'all judging
you're
me?
You already letting yourself go. You got engaged, and it's like, all right, whatever.
I got her.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I did get her now. I ain't stuck with this now.
Oh, yeah, by the way, those of you just joining us, big news. Kyle's engaged.
Yeah.
He's
I do, though.
I'm so thrilled.
I caked her up. I caked her up like a donut. She's my donut now.
What does that mean?
It means she's going to eat her really fast.
Yeah, well, that's what I
said.
You're taking her off the market. You're taking her off the market like how Ben just bought these donuts off the market.
Can we go to break?
I do want to talk about the NBA Finals yesterday.
I legitimately understand sugar.
Is it good, Brad?
It's unbelievable. It's so good. It's so good. I'm changed. Not for the better.
Come on.
Oh, no, it's for the best. Oh, yeah, Brad.
That was
Brad
a huge mouthful. Brad's
life, baby.
Yes. New Brad.
Brad didn't even hesitate to eat this donut.
New Brad is awesome.
What are you going to do? Wait a minute. He didn't even eat his little what's the bar you eat, your healthy bar at 3:30?
I know. I heard we're getting donuts. So
he's got to replace it.
My healthy protein bar is now a donut.
This might be the worst segment we've ever done.
No, everyone loves donuts.
That's true.
And we just inspired a whole population of audience to join us by eating donuts.
There's just going to be an uptick in donut sales. Yeah.
4 to 5 p.m. on Monday, June 23rd, the donut industry is not going to know what hit them.
An unconventional time to get a donut, too.
They're going to be like, we were about to throw these away.
Yeah.
And then they brought them home, zapped them in the microwave, and they're great.
Or freeze them.
The donut industry is not going to know what hit them.
What'd you say?
The donut industry is not going to
hit them. It's not going to hit them. Who cares? Right now is going to get to a donut shop, and then they're going to be like, oh, we're about to close. Oh, no, you aren't. We heard Kyle Russ Norman. Kyle's been done for about 5 minutes.
I can't believe I still got you on donuts.
Well, I'm trying to actually still be available.
Listen, hey, I'm not the driver of the show. All right, I just react, and I reacted by eating a donut.
All right, Stroph, come get your donut. I got to talk about the NBA Finals, Haliburton injury, how it affects Giannis, plus Gen Z is ruining the world. I'll tell you why next.
This is Kyle Brustin Nortman, KBN.
Yeah, see, the thing about me is I like crazy. I like crazy. I like a little excitement in my life. I like a little bit of drama.
On ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
So it's weird. It was a really good NBA playoffs. And it ended so poorly. Like when Haliburton got hurt, Tyrese Haliburton of the Indiana Pacers played with a strained calf. We don't say the A word on this program. Ooh. I will say I was ahead of the time.
Yeah,
you were. What's up with all these? It's so crazy.
The pace of play, like the if you're seeing the ages of some of them too, like Haliburton and Jason Tatum.
It was an old man's injury, typically. Mm-hmm. It was like, oh no, but now you're seeing these guys in there. So even when KD tore his, he was in his 30s.
Yeah.
Earlies.
Yeah, but
it's usually like I turn 40, this could happen any moment.
Yeah, because Rogers, you know, I mean, he's just old.
Rogers, Kobe was like 36, 35 when it happened to his.
I don't get it. Overuse? Are we working these guys too hard?
I think what's crazy is that we talk about, oh, the NBA travel. There has to be something where these guys are, they're so dynamic, they're moving faster.
I would say specialization of sports.
Really?
Doing the same movement over and over and over and over and over again.
Oh, Benny's preaching for multi-sport athletes.
I loved playing multi-sports growing up.
Yeah, I agree.
I hate the specialization now. That if you want to make it somewhere, you got to start playing club at like second grade.
That's absurd.
I as somebody who used to teach a class on youth sports at Central Michigan University, we talked about. I'm dead serious. Specialization of doing one sport is not good for kids. It's not, especially at an early age. They really discourage it. Matter of fact, I remember Mike McCarthy talked about it years ago, saying that, you know, he likes guys that are multi-sport athletes.
What's weird is, as well, as Bo Ryan, when I was in college, loved having dual sport athletes come play at Wisconsin. Yeah. Loved it. Because it helped, like, with vision and seeing, like, just, I don't know, experiencing different things. Obviously, if you were a quarterback, you probably had a better understanding of ball security and passing and angles, or if you played safety for defense, not getting out of position, hand-eye coordination in other sports, like, helps.
Sport did you play?
I played travel soccer and travel baseball till eighth grade, and then I realized I was a 6'2 white guy, and I was going to have to get really, really good at basketball if I wanted to make it.
6'1.
Whatever.
Oh, from the top ropes.
Even more impressive.
Are you saying white guys can't jump? What are you trying to say?
That's just short.
I know, 6'2 shooting guard going against the 6'7 athletic freaks at a little bit of disadvantage.
You were scared of the blacks?
No.
Jeez.
I mean, that's what he said. 6'7 jumping out the gym.
It meant
that's what he said.
I had to get really good at a specific skill, and I got really good at shooting, and then I was scared of the blacks.
That's why you went to Wisconsin.
No,
they got a lot of blacks on that team.
No, that's why I committed to Iowa first.
Oh, yeah. You went to the second one. Yeah, well, I guess.
Yeah, there was white b-ball success was a Twitter handle back in our day. And when we played Iowa, 9 out of 10 of us were white on the floor. We were like, what's going on around here?
That is unusual.
But no, like the 6'7 Brandon Dawson, I'd have to guard because he couldn't shoot, but he was 230 and could jump out of the gym. And it sucked being like, I wish I could guard the guards, but I wasn't good enough to guard the guards because I couldn't play defense. How did we get here?
Gen Z.
Oh, yes. Why do we hate Gen Z?
Did you see the celebration? It wasn't even a celebration.
Yeah, the celebration was sad. I mean, I had as much energy in our losing Super Bowl 50 locker room as they had victorious in their locker room. It was sad. All the leftover drinks and champagne.
I genuinely don't get your generation, Strofe.
What's up
going on, Strofe? I genuinely don't.
Well, does it make you feel any better if I can confidently say I'm not part of the problem?
Well, you're from rural Wisconsin, and I know you're not part
of
the problem.
And he's Wisconsin. That's the thing. He ain't got nothing better to do.
Exactly.
Whoa.
Growing up, you had to.
What did you have to do where you live?
Exactly. Barn parties?
I lived in Green Bay. But yes, barn parties were a thing.
That sounds awesome, actually.
Barn parties were fun.
Exactly, but that's what I'm saying. He grew up in that. Now all these guys just sit on their phone and don't like interact with people or go out.
It was so strange.
It was so weird.
Like, get used to it.
It seemed like there was just no joy in victory. It just seems like they just kind of come in, clock in. Okay, we won. Now we're clocking out. It makes no sense. I think
they probably
like,
get more joy watching the likes come in on the post of them with the trophy
than
they do actually feeling the joy out there. It's so weird. Go to RoadAmerica.com to get your tickets. The Cheese Capital Cup. Is there anything more Wisconsin than that? Probably not. Racing, Road America, and cheese all together. The 27th through the 29th. Get your tickets at roadamerica.com. Kids 16 and under are free. It's a no-brainer. IndyCar was just here. Go enjoy another great weekend at Road America. The Damn Sports Show with Jesse Nelson subbing in as a cousin sub. And Jim, Matt, and Molly in Madison. We're back in 2 minutes. It's Kyle, Brust, and Ortman. KBN's the show that never ends.